And again, we want to welcome Pastor Dan Purdom as our new minister. In fact, there will be a reception outdoors immediately following this service, which will be an excellent opportunity for you to get to know him better and to greet and welcome Pastor Dan to our church. You know, this is the time of year when seeds have been planted, plants are growing, and a harvest is expected. Our scripture lesson that'll be read later on in the service deals with Jesus' parable of the sower of the seed. And just as it is with the type of soil in which the seed is sown, so it is with us as we hear God's word, take it into our hearts, and apply his teaching to our daily lives. Let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Lord God, we gather together in your presence with expectation, hungry for an encounter with you, eager to hear your word. Open our heart, our eyes, and ears to the presence of your Holy Spirit. May the seeds of your word scattered among us this morning fall on fertile soil. May they take root in our hearts and lives and produce an abundant harvest of good words and deeds. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our teacher and our Lord. Amen. Now please join us as we sing our first two songs, and the first one is a great hymn, God of Grace and God of Glory, followed by I Will Follow. Please stand as you're able.
Are good, all your ways are sure. I will trust in you alone, higher than my sight, high above my life. I will trust in you alone, in you alone. Where you go, I'll go. Where you stay, I'll stay. When you move, I'll move. I will follow you. When you love, I'll love. How you serve, I'll serve. If this life I lose, I will follow you. Yeah, I will follow you. Yeah. Light into the world, light into my life. I will live for you alone. You're the one I see, knowing I will find. All I need is you alone, in you alone. Where you go, I'll go. Where you stay, I'll stay. When you move, I'll move. I will follow you. When you love, I'll love. How you serve, I'll serve. If this life I lose, I will follow you. Yeah, I will follow you. Yeah. In you there's life everlasting. In you there's freedom for my soul. In you there's joy, unending joy. And I will follow. Where you go, I'll go. Where you stay, I'll stay. When you move, I'll move. I will follow you. Whom you love, I'll love. How you serve, I'll serve. If this life I lose, I will follow. Where you go, I'll go. Where you stay, I'll stay. When you move, I'll move. I will follow you. Whom you love, I'll love. How you serve, I'll serve. If this life I lose, I will follow you. I will follow you, yeah. I will follow you, yeah. I will follow you, yeah.
Thank you, and please be seated. You know, we worship a God who is all-sufficient, all-powerful, and all-knowing. The God of creation and of eternity. But he is also a God whose love surpasses all understanding. As we worship, we move nearer to the God who has shown time and time again that he desires to be near to us. Though he is in need of nothing, God so loved the world that he chose to send his one and only Son so that we may not perish, but have life everlasting with him. This morning, let's celebrate the name of Jesus. And what a beautiful name it is. I think we ought to stand for this song. It's a good one. What a beautiful name.
The Word of love beginning, one with God, the Lord Most High. Your hidden glory in creation, now revealed in you, our Christ. What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is. What a wonderful name it is, the name of could not hold you. The veil tore before you to silence the post of sin and grave. Heavens are roaring, praise of your glory, for you are raised to life again. You have no rival, you have no equal, now and forever, God, you reign. Yours is the kingdom, yours is the glory, yours is the name above all names. What a powerful name it is, what a powerful name it is. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus.
Jesus, yes, what a powerful name it is, as he becomes the center and the focal point of our lives. We come to that special time in the service when it's time to greet your neighbors out there. So have fun doing it.
We should just set up on the other side. He comes out.
Is it too much?
No, it's fine. I think it makes sense.
Go ahead. It was set up for a right-hander, a right-earer. Oh, you came. You're well-trained. You knew exactly what to do. Will the children please come forward? Y'all just have a seat right there. Leave a little space for me right there if you would. I've got something I'm going to get and show you, okay? Can you slide over just a little bit so I've got some room to sit there? I wanted to show you all this special. This is a special plant. Does it look very special? Doesn't look very special right now, does it? But that's a very special plant, and I wanted to bring you that to show you that today, because today we're kind of talking about plants, and Jesus liked to tell stories about plants. And I want to tell you why this plant is special. First of all, can you guess how old that plant is?
Really old?
Really old. Well, it's older than you. Somebody gave me that plant. I was just thinking about, it's a Christmas cactus, by the way, and it's not blooming right now, so it's not real pretty, but it blooms, every year it blooms, and it's a beautiful, covered with beautiful pinkish flowers. Somebody gave me that plant 15 years ago. I know. 15 years ago that somebody gave me that plant when I was kind of sick, and I wasn't feeling good, and they brought it to my house. And it was completely covered with flowers. And it made me feel good, you know, to see that beautiful plant. And it also made me feel good that the person, you know, cared enough about me to bring it to me. And they were people from my church. And they were showing the love of Christ, the love of Jesus to me when they brought me that plant. That plant has bloomed every year for 15 years. As a matter of fact, that plant has bloomed twice a year. I don't think they're supposed to do that, but this one does. It blooms around Christmas time, and then it'll bloom again like in January or February. And right now, it's kind of dull looking, but when the blooms are on, and you know what? I'll bring that back and show you all when it blooms. Would you like to see it then? Okay. So Jesus tells lots of stories about plants, and he talks about plants growing, and he talks about seeds, and today we're going to talk about one of those stories. But Jesus wants plants to grow, God wants plants to grow, but God also wants us to grow. You think so? And we grow, we get bigger, get taller, you know? But so we're growing in size, but God also wants us to grow in our hearts. and grow in our hearts so that we love Jesus more and more all the time. Does that make sense? Good. Would you all like to have a prayer? Okay, let's pray. Dear God, we thank you for these children, Lord. We are so blessed to have them in our midst. And Lord, we ask a special blessing on each of them, that they might continue to grow, both as they grow in age and in size, but also in their hearts, that they learn to love you with all of their hearts and all of their souls and all their minds. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for coming up. You guys can go back now to your seats.
Good morning. Today's scripture comes from Matthew 13, 1 through 9. The same day Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. Such great crowds gathered him around him that he got into a boat and sat there, while the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, "Listen, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell on the path, and the birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and they sprang up quickly, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth grain. Some had hundredfold, some 60, some 30. Let anyone with ears listen."
I'd like to start my sermons with a prayer, just to ask God to be, guide my words and guide our hearing. But today I want to use a song for that purpose, and I'm gonna. It may be one you know. If you don't, I'm gonna teach it to you because the words are really easy. Called All Who Are Thirsty. And the chorus is just, "Come, Lord Jesus, come." So I would like to invite you all to sing with me when we get to that part. And then at one point we may change that to, "Come, Holy Spirit, come," if you just follow my lead. All who are thirsty, all who are weak, come to the fountain, dip your heart in the stream of life. Let the pain and the sorrow be washed away in the waves of His mercy. Deep cries out to deep, we sing, "Come, Lord Jesus, come." I'm going to do that three more times. Help me out. "Come, Lord Jesus, come. Come. All who are weak, come to the fountain, dip your heart in the stream of life. Let the pain and the sorrow be washed away in the waves of His mercy. Deep cries out to deep, we sing, "Come, Lord Jesus, come. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Holy Spirit, come. to figure out how to get this guitar off without knocking off my microphone. I almost did. Trying to get used to this technology. Can you all hear me? Is it still working?
Yes. Yeah?
All right, cool. Nice singing. I like to hear that good singing in a church. It's nice. I still think we should pray, though. Let's pray together. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. For, Lord, you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So the parable that we heard read is a story about plants. And as I said to the children, Jesus seems to like to tell stories about plants. I myself like stories about plants because I'm sort of a plant person myself. I studied horticulture in college, and I studied plant biology, and I love to garden. That's right. I do have a green thumb. And so I pay attention and I perk up when I hear a story about a plant. This one story about a plant, this parable that we call the parable of the sower, is followed in Matthew, where it comes from, by two other parables that are also about plants. There's the parable of the weeds, which I'm sure you all are familiar with, and the parable of the mustard seed. I think in all of these, we see that growth, and maybe even we could say productivity, when we think about the yield and the harvest, are implied as being biblical values. Amen? We might even say, and also we could say Christian values. Growth is important as to us as Christians. In a personal way, growth is important. And in a congregational way, in our church together, growth is important. And there's two different ways that we can think about growth. There's probably more than that, but two in particular that I can think of this morning. One is growth in numbers, which is oftentimes the first thing people think about when they think about church growth. But also, and maybe even more importantly, is growth in our spirits. Growth, as I said to the children, in our hearts, as we come to grow closer to Christ, as we come to grow more Christ-like in our own lives, in our growing, in our understanding of our faith. You all heard today's parable read. You've heard that parable before, the story of the sower who goes out and sows seed and sows it in different places. And sometimes it hits a good patch of soil and grows, and sometimes it hits a rocky patch of soil and it doesn't grow so well. I'm going to ask you a question. I want you to just sort of quickly reflect on this, and it might be something you might want to ask yourself later on and think about a little bit more. What's the first thing that you think about when you hear or read that story? I don't know what that would be for you. I don't know what the answer is for you. But for me, when I read that story, the first thing that I think about is, what kind of soil am I? I want to know what kind of soil I am. I want to know if I'm the good soil. And I want to be the good soil. Does that make sense to you all? I think we do this because it's natural, first of all, for us to want to sort of compare ourselves and see where we fit in to the story. To know also where we stand spiritually in the eyes of God. We want to be that good soil. But there's another reason I think that our minds immediately go to this way of thinking about this parable, and that's because the interpretation is offered in the Bible just a few verses later. Let me read that to you all. It is from Matthew chapter 13, verses 18 through 23. It is the explanation. The disciples asked Jesus, what did that mean? And the scripture says, Jesus tells them, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in the heart. This is what was sown on the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet such a person has no root, but endures only for a while. And when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, that person immediately falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the lure of wealth choke the word, and it yields nothing. But as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. You see, the parable is explained to us, and so naturally we're going to think, which of those soils are we? But there are very few parables that are actually explained like that in the Bible. And the reason is because parables by nature are unexplainable. That's the whole point of parables. They're things that can mean different things to different people at different times. And they're things that are talking about things we can't describe with just common language. They're talking about God things, things of the Spirit, things that just our simple everyday language cannot convey. And that's why Jesus told parables. Parables, by definition, are unexplainable. And for me, the explanation of this parable doesn't really hold water anyway. And I want to tell you why I think that. The first has to do with ambiguity. Have you ever met a person who was completely good or completely bad? Have you ever been involved in a situation that was completely good or completely bad? When we think about things in that way, what we're doing, what people call, is black and white thinking, right? But in reality, everything is mixed in this world. For instance, I'll give you an example. Technology. It's a great example. We're surrounded by it here. Is technology good? Is technology bad? Well, it depends on how you use it, right? If we can use it to worship and to honor and praise God, that's probably a pretty good thing. But if we sit in front of our computers all day and waste our time surfing on the internet and don't do anything else, that's probably not a good thing, is it? You see, everything's kind of a mix. And the second reason that this parable kind of just doesn't quite jive straight with me has to do with grace. Grace, as we know, as you all know, means not earning God's love and acceptance. That's really good news. Nothing that we can do to earn God's love and acceptance. I would even say this, and people have taken difference with me for saying this, but I'm going to stand on this statement. I believe that there's nothing that we can do to lose God's love. But we can do some things that make us more prepared to receive seeds. We can work on improving our personal soil and our congregational soil. And the way we do that are with things that we call spiritual disciplines. Spiritual disciplines prepare our seed beds to receive the Word of God. You all know about a lot of these spiritual disciplines. You're practicing one right now. You're here together in worship. Prayer, worship, Bible study, fellowship together. Christian conferencing, which is a fancy way of saying getting together with people and talking about your faith and your beliefs and your doubts and your questions. That's a way that we grow in our faith as well. And service is another way. These are just a few. There's a lot of ways that we can prepare ourselves, both personally and corporately, to be a place where God's word can grow. So I want to offer a couple of alternative interpretations to this scripture based on what I just said. Because I've thought about this scripture a lot. And one of the first things that occurred to me is what I'm going to call a holistic interpretation. And that is, it occurred to me one time that we are more like the whole field, each one of us. And this applies in a congregational level too. We're more like the whole field rather than little patches here and there of different types of soil. We're actually all have varying types of soil in our lives and varying types of productivity at different times and at different places in our lives. So if you're poor soil, sometime you might not always be. And if there's something in your life where the word doesn't take root, there may be another place in your life where it will. That's the holistic interpretation. We're the whole field. The second one is about grace again. Because as I thought about this parable, I begin to wonder if this parable has anything to do with different kinds of people at all. Maybe it's a parable about grace and about abundance and about hope. Because there's obviously plenty of seed to go around. There's enough seed that God can spread this seed lavishly all over the place without regard even to what kind of soil the seed's being thrown on. God's got enough seed even for the bad soil, which is good news for me and for you. Some of these seeds are going to take and be exponentially productive. It'll bear and yield fruit 30-fold, 60-fold, and even 100-fold. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you walk with us as we grow. We ask your blessing that we might learn to practice in ways which make us more open to your seeds in our lives and in the life of this congregation. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I am going to now bless the offering. The offering is once again at the exit. And as you leave, you are invited to leave your offering there. Let us pray a blessing on that offering. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that we are so blessed, that we have so many gifts, that everything which we have comes from you, Lord. We ask your blessing on the gifts that have been brought for you here this morning, both gifts of money and time, attention. We ask your blessing on these gifts, and we ask that you give us the wisdom to know best how to use them for your kingdom and for your glory. Amen. It is time now for our time of prayer together. And I'd like to start, I'd like to start by giving you all opportunities to lift up joys or concerns that you might have today. there anybody?
It was a joy this morning to see our mission team off. It was a great looking group, anxious to get on the road.
So awesome. Right. And we should pray for safe travels for them and for a wonderful experience. Absolutely. Yes.
Pray for the people affected by Hurricane Elsa.
Absolutely. Pray for the people affected by Hurricane Elsa. Thank you for that. Yeah, we should. Absolutely. Other things?
Continue to pray for Carolyn Roller.
Prayers for Carolyn Roller. Absolutely. Thank you for that. Well, I would like to pray a liturgical prayer this morning for our pastoral prayer, and I'm going to ask you all to be involved. I don't know if you've done this kind of a prayer before or not, but there's a part for you in this prayer. When you hear me say, Lord, in your mercy, I'm going to invite you all to say, hear our prayer. Let's practice that one time. Lord, in your mercy. And we'll conclude with our Lord's Prayer together. Let us pray together. Let us pray for the church and for the world. Grant, Almighty God, that all who confess your name may be united in your truth, live together in your love, and reveal your glory in the world. Lord, in your mercy. Guide the people of this land and of all the nations in the ways of justice and peace, that we may honor one another and serve the common good. Lord, in your mercy. Give us all a reverence for the earth as your own creation, that we may use its resources rightly in the service of others and to your honor and glory. Lord, in your mercy. Bless all whose lives are closely linked with ours, and grant that we may serve Christ in them and love one another as Christ loves us. Lord, in your mercy. Comfort and heal all those who suffer in body, mind, or spirit. Give them courage and hope in their troubles, and bring them the joy of your salvation. Lord, in your mercy. We commend to your mercy all who have died, that your will for them may be fulfilled. And we pray that we may share with all your saints in your eternal kingdom. Lord, in your mercy. We offer these prayers through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught us to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We have announcements now listed in our order of worship. Are there any announcements? Church Council here Tuesday at 6:30. Thank you. Anything else? Refreshments in the parking lot as we leave. Okay. Thank you for that. Other things? Turn it back over to our
Thank you, Pastor Dan. And I think I overlooked your wife, Amy is here, because I saw a new face back here. Amy, we're delighted to have you with us as well, and we welcome you to our Bethany family. be sure to say hello. Yeah. Yeah, we men know who the better half is. So, Amy, it's great to have you here. Let's conclude our service now with our last hymn, Rescue the Perishing. Please stand as you're able.
Keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and grant you peace, both now and in the life everlasting. Amen.